Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty.
Now back to throw. Stop. Nobody open. We'll scramble to his left. Now look from the middle. Throw it into the end zone. Was it caught? Yes! Touchdown! T-Ferg!
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus.
Rivalry Week with Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Back to throw. What? They gave it off. Handed the ball to James. Running right. Gets a block inside. 2-1. Touchdown, Jordan James.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday. Thanks for partying on with us. We're going over the chaos in college football. And Indiana may have turned into a pumpkin on Saturday. It started really well for the Hoosiers.
Yeah, no, for that first drive, I was like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
And it was all downhill.
Well, you force a three and out, and then you get the ball, and you march 11 plays, 70 yards. You take a 7-0 lead, and you're like, oh, okay. And then Ohio State said, no, we're done with that. The next 8 drives for Indiana football, after going 11 plays and 70 yards, 8 drives, 32 plays, 26 total yards. Their next 8 drives.
Is that good?
No, that is not.
Basically, Ohio State just kind of tussled their hair and said, that's cute.
Their offensive line got manhandled up front by Ohio State. And look, the defense for Ohio State, they looked the part. They looked every bit of what they were hyped up to be this year. And special teams, too. I mean, look, Ohio State's offense, I didn't really get a good gauge of what Ohio State's offense looks like without two of their starting offensive line, with Seth McLaughlin going down with that ruptured Achilles early in the week last week, because their offense didn't need to put drives together.
No.
They started 4 of their 9 drives offensively in Indiana territory.
Yeah, being in plus territory to start, and particularly, I mean, it's one thing in the NFL. It's a whole nother in college football when you have that boulder pushed halfway up for you.
Yeah.
Most teams, especially good teams, they will take advantage of it.
And the way their defense was playing, it was just like, yep, well, I guess we'll just start in plus territory, and we're going to have a short field. There was one sustained drive that Ohio State had where they scored points off it. And I think it was a 75-yard drive in the third quarter. They had a drive early in the game where they ended up turning the ball over on downs. And then after that happened, Ohio State punted away, and it was another short field after that. Like, Ohio State's offense, I don't know. I still don't know how they're going to be up front without your starting center and your starting left tackle.
I don't think you learn anything about Ohio State in this game.
I learned about their defense, man.
Yeah, that's pretty. I mean, here's the crazy thing: if you just take a step back and you hadn't watched the game, and you just look at the overall box score, dead heat in time of possession. They both turned the ball over once. Ohio State's in the negative on penalties. Indiana ran the ball 40 times horribly, but they did run the ball 40 times. Like, if I told you that, hey, Indiana has run the ball 40 times, they went even in the turnover margin, and that the time of possession was pretty equal, was almost a dead equal, and Indiana beat them in the keeping the chains moving in the third down game, would you think that this score was 38-15?
No, but I also look at it and I say, well, there's a reason why they ran the ball that often, is because I think entering the fourth quarter, they popped this graphic up on the broadcast where Curtis Rourke had 6 completions and had been sacked 5 times.
Yeah. He just couldn't get rid of the ball.
They got mauled up front. And I think like that the performance of Oregon's offensive line against Jack Sawyer, Simon, and JT Tuimoloau in that game at Autzen Stadium, it gets more and more impressive every time you watch Ohio State, because those guys were not factors in that game. And can they replicate that in a potential Big Ten championship game? I don't know. We still now have three different scenarios, though, for who Oregon will play in the Big Ten championship game on December 7th. It is Ohio State. If they beat Michigan, they're in. They go to Indy. If Penn State wins against Maryland and Ohio State loses to Michigan, Penn State is in. If Indiana beats Purdue and both Penn State and Ohio State lose, it's Indiana that's in. So we're down to, from 10 down to three different scenarios for how the Big Ten championship game shakes out.
Do because we can talk of the about dominating Penn State at all?
Performance. Yeah, sure, we can.
Because, I mean, that game against Minnesota, goodness gracious.
Yep.
They Penn State incredibly hard.
Yeah. Again.
Again, tough to win this time of year.
Winning this time of year is really hard. I mean, look at across college football. Mm-hmm. I give credit to the teams that pull those games out more than the ones that end up losing those games. You know, it was it pretty? No, it wasn't. But that's what Penn State is right now. I don't think they're the fourth best team in the country. I think they're a far cry from the fourth best team in the country.
I don't think they're a top 10 team.
I do, but their defense is good. Their quarterback is a liability.
Yeah. And if they didn't
and
have
has not improved one bit from last year.
No. And if they didn't have the sneakiest best player in the country in Tyler Warren, they would be
I mean, he was
Iowa.
He got hurt. He got dinged. He only had two carries in that game.
He had 8 catches for a bucko too.
Okay. Well, didn't run the ball.
Yeah. Maybe he did get dinged up. I was watching it in the
well,
four
use
box.
Use him as every. He's their Swiss Army knife.
He's their Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. He would, except for like,
you know,
a mutant of Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. He's not the speedy guy, but they use him in so many different ways.
6'6", 260.
Which again, why did they not just give him the ball against Ohio State on the goal line? Like just like 4 times,
just 6'6", 260, and you—it's not like it wasn't a gimmick of like, oh, let's give the offensive lineman the ball. It's like, no, this is a guy that you give the ball to regularly as a running back.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch that game. My eyes were elsewhere in college.
I had it
football,
in the four
so
box for
I
a
don't,
little bit just to see what because it was close the whole game.
But if you win, that's all that matters. Because look at the SEC.
That's true. You could be the SEC and you know not win.
Yeah, I mean. Oops. And that's like the same thing with USC and UCLA.
Oh,
like,
God.
That was a horrific game.
It was just horrible
great,
football being played.
Great, great uniform matchup,
though.
Oh, yeah. But
one of the best there is.
USC's just not good.
No.
They're not.
No, they're not.
And they're taking a lot of pride in winning that game. It's like.
Should you? The answer is no.
It's UCLA. You beat UCLA.
No, they're not good.
Yeah, yeah. But they won. They found a way to win. They pitch a shutout in the fourth quarter, and they get to own L.A. for another year. How about, did you see Nebraska putting up 44 on Wisconsin, too?
No.
Yeah. They put up 44 on Wisconsin, and the Big Red now becomes bowl eligible for the first time in 8 years.
Look at that.
Mike Riley, the last coach to take him to a bowl game?
I mean, did you see the end of the Rutgers-Illinois game?
Yes, I did. Boy.
Icing a kicker with a timeout, then Illinois figures out with the wind, not going to be a kick he can make. Screw it. Let's go Hail Mary. Hail Mary lands.
Win.
Oh, no.
Wah, wah,
oh, no, Greg Schiano. Had you not taken that timeout, they don't check the wind a little bit more and go,
yeah, we can't do this.
Yeah, we can't do this.
But. How about that? Rutgers finds a way to lose. And Brett Bielema and crew, they're now 8-3. They're going to get to a decent little bowl
game. Decent little bowl game, yeah.
All right.
Who they end the season with?
I don't know. Who really cares?
No, I mean, Northwestern, they're going to be a 9-3 team.
Golly. Northwestern.
Not good. 9-3 Illinois, though. Huh?
Northwestern gave up 50 points. Mauled up front.
To Michigan.
Mauled up front. Which, hey, maybe Michigan found something heading into the game. Right?
Yeah, it's called We Have a New Quarterback Next Year.
Yeah. They do. Paid him a lot of money. And Tom Brady. Yeah. Tom Brady sealed the deal. Mm. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Brady and Barstool coming together to make it happen.
Bryce Underwood said that his conversations with Tom Brady are what kind of tipped him over the edge to go to Michigan.
It wasn't the $11 million?
No. Did Tom Brady really butter him up by saying, hey, maybe you can also be benched
for a major league pitcher?
Yeah. And then
go in the fifth round.
Use that to fuel yourself and then get passed over as the 199th overall pick and know every single one of those guys' names and have their names in your locker for a 20-plus year career and become the best quarterback in NFL history. Just come to Michigan and do that.
Just do that.
Yeah.
Very normal.
That's the pitch? You think that's the pitch? Mm. All right. Crazy weekend in the Big Ten. Indiana. I honestly believe this. And by the way, the Ohio State scoring 31 unanswered, and then the next time that Indiana scores, they just say, we are going to put another one on the board with 35
seconds
left.
Make sure we keep the gap.
And just crotch chop you on the way out. If Indiana lost that game the way that they did and all the other SEC teams won, I think you would have had a legitimate conversation of Indiana not being worthy of being in the playoff. Mm-hmm. The fact that everybody else lost,
they might be 12.
They might get in.
Yeah,
they might. They could weasel their way into this thing with two more wins. And they, I mean, with one loss, yeah. Or do I think Ole Miss is better than Indiana?
Probably.
I do. But you know what? It's you lose three times,
and two of them are inexcusable.
And the strength of schedule. Remember that was being criticized for Indiana. They went from like 108th to 51st just by playing one team. I did it.
Useful.
All right. Let's pivot from football. Let's take a deep breath. The Blazers split. Hey. And now we got injuries and car accidents. And what is happening with the Portland Trail Blazers?
Oh, no.
Danny Dusty on the Fan. A weekend back-to-back with the Houston Rockets down in Houston. Saw the Blazers get rolled in game one, 116-88.
Oh, boy.
The under was the play. If you go back and listen to the podcast on the Odyssey app, the under was everything in that game. It was like, what, 224.5? Yeah. No. Didn't get there.
Short, Bob.
Just a bit outside. But then the Blazers rebound, and they get a 104-98 win over the Rockets the very next day. And we had a kerfuffle with the Blazers and Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this stems from game one, where the Rockets taunted and stunted on the Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
Talked a whole lot of S.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I mean, Dylan Brooks went 6 of 8 from three in that game. The game plan was let him shoot because he can't shoot. And he got lucky in one game and decided to let it all hang out and
beat him.
Does what Dylan Brooks does. And you tip your cap when somebody, you know, breaks your game plan because he's not a good shooter. And if their offense is running through Dylan Brooks, you live with that, right? The problem with that was not only did he get off, Torrey Eason did too. Torrey Eason was 8 of 14, had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. He was a plus 33 in the game. He was a disruptive force of nature. Him and Amen Thompson were just disruptive as hell. And it was a game which, you know, the Rockets shoot 45-39, you know, 45% from the field, 39% from three, hit 15 threes. And that's all she wrote, because Portland shoots 33% on the night, 11 of 43 from three. I like the fact that they got up 43 threes. Didn't like all of them. That's kind of the deal there. But if you think about that, that means if they went 11 of 43 from three and 30 of 90 from the field, that means they went 19 of 47 from two.
Yeah, that's who they are. 19
of 48.
They've been really bad at
the worst two-point shooting team in the league. Fast forward to the next night. And here's the thing. And if you've listened to me at all talk about these baseball series games, they almost always go 1-1. When you saw the Blazers beat the Timberwolves twice 2 weeks ago, that's the anomaly. That doesn't usually happen. Well, you get these back-to-backs.
I think the Blazers are just a juggernaut, and that's what we're learning.
Yeah, it turns out the Minnesota Timberwolves have a lot of identity issues. Did you see the Julius Randle not passing Rudy Gobert the ball?
No.
They're playing the Raptors. Gobert has Scottie Barnes walled off under the rim. And look, Gobert doesn't have a deep bag. He's not going to you're not tossing the ball to go score. But Scotty Barnes might have well been in the shadow realm at that point. He was so far underneath the rim, all Rudy had to do was catch and turn. Like, that's it. Well, Rudy decides, after being looked off for 3 seconds, he's just going to stand in the paint. Gets a 3-second call. In a game that the Raptors then went on like a 14-1 run, and they ended up losing. But
yikes.
Julius is yelling at Rudy. Rudy's yelling at Julius. Ant Edwards decides he's yelling at Rudy. So vibes are just off there. So I you know, again, you don't discount the Blazers winning both those games, but the Timberwolves they're in an identity crisis. But you go into night two, and the identity for the Portland Trail Blazers is to get teams into rock fights. The Blazers win this game 104-98, right? The Blazers shot 38% from the field.
Not good. But they made 18 threes.
Again, 44 attempts, 90 total shots in the night. Almost 50% of their shots in back-to-back nights were from three. And this is where you can get into some variance and you can make some ground up. If you're going to be dog water at twos, maybe you knock down enough threes. Because on the flip side of this, the Rockets go 8 of 32, 25% from three. But the couple big things that came out of this night. In game one against the Rockets, Tumani Kamara led the Blazers in shots. That can't be a thing. I love two. That can't be a thing. Anthony Simons made his return that night. Scoot Henderson's out, which he was out for a thigh contusion, but also he got in a car accident.
Yeah, got rear-ended in an Uber.
Yeah, yeah. I've been told he'll be okay.
Or a Lyft.
No big deal. A rideshare was the official vernacular used. But you had some of the outlier performances in game two. Donovan Clingan had one of the crazier stat lines in modern NBA history with 19 rebounds and 0 points.
Three block shots, too. Mm-hmm. Two. Break Bill Walton's record for consecutive games with a blocked shot.
Yep.
He also got hurt.
Yes.
What's going on
there?
He's
got a knee sprain, I've been told, a week or two.
That sucks.
Yeah. So the Blazers went from having four centers to two very quickly, and one of them can't play back-to-backs. But the good news is the Blazers don't have a back-to-back again until January.
Okay.
So there you go.
You got that going for you.
They do
nice.
Just play basically every other game between now and Christmas.
All right.
So, or every other day between now and Christmas. So, but I think two big things came out of the game, of game two. Number one, Anthony Simons looked like Anthony Simons again. 15 points in the fourth quarter, took over, finished at the rim, knocked down threes. He looked like himself. I really liked how he got in. There's a kerfuffle, as we talked about. Dylan Brooks got mad because he can't maintain his balance and fell over. And got in Shaedon Sharpe's face, and it was Anthony Simons who grabbed Dylan Brooks and started talking a whole heap of junk to him. That's not a thing that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And Ant did it with a smile on his face. And he was asked about it in the post game by Brooke Holes and Dam. And Ant was like, yeah, I needed to be an instigator there. And you saw Ant smile, which you have not seen all season. And it was nice to see. The other thing that happened, you saw what Denny Avdia can do.
Yeah.
He asks for the assignment after Donovan goes out to guard Şengün straight up. Gets a career-high 4 blocks in the game, grabs 10 rebounds, scores 14, gets to the line, knocks down threes. Every time he got a rebound, he was either pushing himself or firing the ball up court to trigger the offense. And you saw kind of the idea of what you can have when Anthony is firing, when Donovan's rebounding, when Denny's rebounding and pushing pace, like Shaden's filling in, like, you saw the kind of the idea of what this could be in the future. And I think that's kind of what stood out to me. This is a game where if they play it 100 more times, they probably lose 98 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, legitimately. Like, they shot 38% from the floor. The number of games that you win shooting under 40% from the floor, not many.
I have a question.
Mm.
So if you take out the Minnesota game where Ant only played 5 minutes mm-hmm. and he was out, I was noticing this in that it seems like he's turning the ball over a lot. And you go back and it's 18 turnovers in his last 6 games. If you take that Minnesota one out.
I did notice it in the last game. The turnovers that he had were getting caught in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And
he
jumped in the air and it was like, you could see the look on his face. Like, I'm not excusing the turnover, but it looked like he was looking for somebody to be where they were supposed to be and they weren't. And he ends up throwing a pass. Two of them went to Jeremy Grant where they ended up being like passes down at his feet. And they kind of, Jeremy kind of bobbled it.
It's looked, not in rhythm.
Yeah, no, I think they're still kind of, and I think you saw this in game one, where Ant just kind of seemed to try to fit in,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't work. And I think in game two, basically, Chauncey Billups said, you need to go be more forceful.
Yeah, you need to be the guy who takes this thing over.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like anything overly alarming. It's something that seemed, it seems off in like watching, especially on Saturday. It was that looks clunky.
Yeah. And I think clunky is the best way to describe the Blazers offense this year, because it's gone through like different iterations of like, okay, Ant's out, now Scoot's going to run things. Okay, Shaden's going to be on the ball a little bit more. Okay, Denny's going to run the offense in the second unit a little bit. And I think you just kind of, it hasn't solidified itself as a pecking order.
Okay.
I mentioned that on the postgame show. Like, the pecking order keeps changing. And I think that it's both good and bad, because you're, if you want it,
you take it.
You can take it.
Yeah.
But nobody's been able to really take it. And honestly, other than Shaden's 33-point performance, I think Ant having the 15-point fourth quarter is probably the only other one where you saw somebody go, all right, everybody.
Hop on. Yeah.
This is how we're going to do this.
All right. Well, it's good to see Ant back and looking like himself. And you saw that in the fourth quarter, which is something that we haven't seen the illness that has held him out.
No, he'll be the first to tell you he's been awful this season. Yeah. So, and again, I mentioned it at the top of the show. John Morant was expected to be out. He is expected now to play tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies.
In Memphis, is Ja's dad going to be sitting courtside?
We'll see. We'll see if old T's there. I'll just say, you know, it'd be nice if Ja would have been able to do this when they were here.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm selfishly. I haven't seen him play in 3 years live.
But there's only one person that you can blame for that.
Right?
And it's him.
Yeah.
Come on. It is him.
Yeah, they don't play again here until March, so hopefully he doesn't get hurt between now and then.
Yeah.
Selfishly.
Or suspended.
Yeah. Which, both on the table.
I think suspended is more on the table recently than hurt.
Fair. All right, coming up next, we have time for our worst day on the web. And look, he who smelt it dealt it is something, you know, you kind of cringe at maybe a little bit. But imagine it's in space. But first, here's Big Kahuna, the Sports Center Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
Did either of you guys ever want to be astronauts? You ever want to go to space?
I do. I do. I want to go to space.
Like if the Elon thing works out and like space travel becomes a thing, you want to do it?
I don't know if I'm going to trust the Elon thing, but...
But you know what I'm talking about, the commercialization of space.
Yeah, who's the Virgin guy?
Richard Branson.
Yeah, Branson. Yeah. Branson. He tried this too. You know, I'm not going to be on the first ship up. No, somebody else can do that.
26,000th is probably about when I'm...
Right?
Yeah. Price goes down. We've worked through the kinks kind of a deal.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, a couple of them go, and, you know, I'm like, all right, we're...
Not flying on anything named Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Challenger.
And... The greatest is the Elon thing that's happening now with the Cybertrucks. Rust, you retweeted this earlier today.
I hope it's real. Somebody told me it's fake, but I hope it's real.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know for certain either way.
It's
still funny,
real,
though. I want it to be real, really bad.
Okay, so this is probably fake news, but it's so believable. Like, there was a photo that I saw Rust tweet out that somebody had said... Cybertruck owners are having a problem, and people believe that raccoons are trying to break into them because they're confusing them with dumpsters.
The trash cans.
It's a great picture of, like, it looks like raccoon paws have been scratching all over this Cybertruck.
I could go one step further where it actually is. I know it is real. Instagram account, a car account, took and polished. Because they're just
I've seen this. Yeah.
They polished it all the way through to where it looks like a mirror.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Well, they got pulled over and cited, and they're like, "Well, what did you cite us for?" And they're like, you actually."
I don't know. Your car is a mirror.
So, but it turns out it's what they're doing is like doing that is not illegal.
Yeah,
but the cops like were like, we don't like it, basically. But yeah, you can
I don't like it. You can
polish it up to a near mirror finish, and it's like all of a sudden somebody pulls up next to you and you see yourself. It's like,
Yeah. Well, driving in the daylight is dangerous.
Yeah, you're just a mirror.
Yeah.
Just putting light back in somebody's face, the sun. Just,
like you get stuck in traffic and the sun hits that car at the perfect angle, you're going to melt somebody's tire. Yeah, like it's going to be like the little ray beam just like
ants everywhere like, "Oh my god."
Yeah.
But
like start a fire with a panhandler, catches cardboard sign on fire because the light just goes off yours. Come on, what are we doing here? We can't do this.
Back to the whole space
thing.
All
right, space.
I used to be like, yeah, this seems pretty cool. I have grown, I don't have many fears or phobias. Two things I have grown to deeply respect and greatly fear: deep ocean and outer space.
Okay.
I want nothing to do with either of them.
Yeah. No. For me, it's called claustrophobia.
Here's the thing. It's not that. It's the, what happens if something goes wrong? Mm-hmm. Because the, if something goes wrong in either of those scenarios, it's death. Like, there's no, like, we can solve this. We can fix this. Like,
you're going to die.
Yeah, it's like, there's no, like, you get a little hole in the ship in deep water. Boonk, collapses. You get a little hole in space. Boonk, collapses.
Yeah. Death.
Death. Like, there's no.
You're dead.
Yeah, there's no way around this. Like,
in space, nobody can hear you scream.
Yeah, there's a vacuum of space. That, like, the whole thing's terrifying. And so,
you've been hanging out with Danny way too much. Yeah. That comment right there, you've been hanging out with Danny way too long.
Isn't that from 2001?
A Space Odyssey?
Yes.
I don't know.
I believe it is.
Could be. But a Russian ship docked with the ISS, the International Space Station.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And after opening the Progress spacecraft's hatch, Progress is the Russian spaceship that was docking and doing the swap out and bringing supplies, all those kind of things. They said they smelled and observed small droplets and smelled like death. Which, again, terrifying things or seemingly ordinary. Like, if you're in your house, like, oh my God, something stinks.
Stinky.
Are you telling me somebody pooped in the droplets is... What?
They have not been able to identify what it was, but they basically like,
dude,
they put the scrubbers on like full blast, the air scrubbers, and were able to like cycle through whatever it was. And one of them said it smelled like rotten paint.
What?
Which I don't
know what rotten paint smells like.
I don't either.
That's a very specific smell,
right? Like
it smells like paint, but out your butt.
Yeah. Which, you know, sometimes you can paint the back of a toilet. Paint it, you know, that kind of a deal.
Man.
But they still don't know. But this is also isn't the first time that something has gone wrong with the Russian side of the ISS.
Oh, but shocking.
Yeah, it's the janky Russian spacecraft. But
yeah,
saw that borscht.
It just got it got me thinking about like what seemingly normal thing that you dismiss in your house would terrify the living crap out of you in space?
Fire.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, fire is the 100% thing.
Fire.
Of like, because fire in oxygenated atmosphere, go boom.
Yeah.
Which is why literally everything that's in a spaceship is
fire
retardant.
Yeah, fire is a big one.
Maybe rats?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just chewing through some electrical and causing fire?
Those get me on Earth, too, though.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. Like,
not a rat guy.
Yeah.
How's a rat guy?
El Ratone.
How's a rat get up there? You know, probably the Russian spacecraft. They're like, we got a little stowaway.
Was that a Russian spacecraft?
That's actually what
they found.
So it was.
No.
It was a poo. But, you know, that is, when you tease this, you're like, well, he who smelt it dealt it. I was thinking, like, dude, you're in one of those space suits and you fart. Like, good luck. Game over, dude.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
you're just sitting in your own,
I mean, you're cooking in your own stew.
That's like when you go up to the mountain and you're wearing all the base layers, you know, and you let one go, and then all of a sudden it starts like creeping up your shirt, and you're like, yeah, this is awful.
Everybody is awful. Loves their own brand.
Yeah, no, they know.
You need to have the dry suit on, the hermetic seal so it doesn't get up there.
No, it's awful.
But I mean, also thinking about like
doing the Dutch oven to yourself.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. I mean, they have showers in space, but they're not. Great. You have to have the artificial gravity to have it on. The food that you're eating, not great.
Oh, space ice cream.
Yeah.
Astronaut ice cream?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No? Not great, Bob.
No.
I can imagine. You have to be like, you have to eat the stuff on the ground before you go, right? To make sure your body handles things accordingly.
Yeah, this is the thing, though. You can't, like, when you go up to space, like, you can't have a last meal on Earth because, like, if you go up and you blow up that toilet up there, that's bad news bears for everybody.
You can't send the plumbing crew up to fix it.
It's a quick way to make some enemies.
Yeah.
And, like, they make sure that when you're up in space, like, you have to exercise, and they make sure that you're going to the bathroom regularly because I'm assuming space backs you up.
Well, here, I mean, think about it. If when you don't have, because they don't always have simulated gravity. Like, they don't always have the thing in rotation because it requires a burn to keep it in motion, blah, 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 fuel, all those things. But when there's no gravity, well, then stuff doesn't naturally progress through your digestive tract. Like, that's a thing.
Not good. Hey, we have rancid paint smells sour and liquidy and very strong vinegary smell. Well, hey, how about that? How about that? The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford.
Which smell like a really bad Ford.
They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. Wow.
So, yeah. I just saw this and I was like, oh dear God. Like, what sort of terrifying things could happen in space where you're just like, yeah, that's not good.
Well, what's happening with the people that are, they're still up there, right?
Oh, they still haven't come back? They're just up there.
No. The people that, we're talking the astronauts that have been stranded up there.
Oh, yeah. They're not coming back.
Did they get to ride back? Or
no, they're not coming back till February. They need to have a ship that comes full.
That right there. Like, hey, if my ride doesn't show up here on Earth, I'm fine. I'll order an Uber. We'll figure out a way. I could hoof it home.
There you go.
No. You're stranded in outer space, for God's sakes, for several months.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're growing potatoes on Mars.
That's right. What?
It's a good movie.
It's Martian. Martian. Damon.
With, again, coming full circle to the poop, using other people's poop as your fertilizer.
That's right. That movie, can we have Circle of Trust here? I didn't like The Martian.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. That's actually like, Interstellar was the one for me that I was like, it's good.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's the movie, best movie of all time.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to go back and watch it again and see. Also, we opened today's show and I didn't give my my rating on Gladiator.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to get to Gladiator 2 at some point. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Next segment, we're going to go NFL, but I'm going to give you a dealer's choice here. Harbaugh or Saquon?
Saquon.
Okay. We'll talk about Saquon Barkley's utter dominance and how the Mara family has to be kicking themselves next here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan. Last night for the Philadelphia Eagles, Saquon Barkley put on a show for the ages.
Yep.
26 carries, 255 yards, nearly a 10-yard per touch rushing average, 2 touchdowns, including a 72-yarder. Not to be outdone, 4 catches, 47 yards with a 31-yarder in there. Real quick, doing the math, 302 yards, Dusty, from scrimmage. Is that good?
It's very good, especially when your former team, the New York Giants, only mustered up 245 yards of total offense and 1 touchdown. Single-handedly, Saquon Barkley outperformed the entire New York Giants offense yesterday.
What Barkley did last night was insane. Just not even from a stat standpoint. If you watched him run the ball, every time he touched the ball, it reminded me of Reggie Bush at USC in 04.
Yeah.
It was, oh my God, there he goes again.
Yeah. That, first of all, the Rams defense is doing some soul searching today.
Yeesh.
But again, Saquon Barkley making the move to Philly, it wasn't just a revenge move on the Giants. It was, let me find a great offensive line and find somewhere else that has weapons that other teams need to account for. And how can I maximize the tail end of my career? Well, guess what? That offensive line is road paving for him. And if you look at New York, his yardage, it wouldn't be like it burns even more for Giants fans because of the fact they chose Daniel Jones over Saquon Barkley. But I don't know if anybody watched old Tommy Cutlets get absolutely manhandled and that offense not operate at all. The Giants organizationally are broken right now. Like, after the game, the Giants were called soft by an offensive player and a defensive player. Called them soft. Like, though, that is the worst thing that you can say about a football player or a unit on a football team or a team in general. And they had two guys say it yesterday. There's big issues, but what Saquon Barkley is doing is truly incredible, and it really makes you think of how good would he have been in New York if they were more competent and better, right? Like, truly, what could they have been? Right now, Philly has the fifth best run-blocking offense in the National Football League. The New York Giants are 23rd.
And here's the other thing about this. I was just doing the math real quick. Okay, Saquon now has just under 1,400 yards rushing, 1,392. Do you know how many yards after contact he has this year?
No.
More than 50%. 776 yards.
That's crazy.
After contact.
That's crazy. He is.
He has been phenomenal this year.
Yep.
Phenomenal. He had 156 yards after contact last night.
Yep. And that's one of the things, though, too, is that who's the first guy to touch you is the big one, right? Because if it's a defensive lineman, good luck bringing him, or he's had a better chance to bring him down. If it's a member of the secondary, if it's a safety or a corner or an outside linebacker, Saquon Barkley's going to run through that. And he is. He's a monster. He is so fun to watch. And for Giants fans, they're going through it extra because of just how bad they are. And it is the perfect signal to a fan base that, no, organizationally, what your team is doing is incorrect, and you guys need to fix it. And it's never more apparent than it is right now. They are broken.
Yes. On the flip side, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Again, it's an overwhelming level of talent, but what they have managed to do, 37-20 doesn't even underscore how badly they won that game.
No.
How much they beat the Rams last night. I mean, the Rams tack on one late, you know, get a little bit more manageable, but that game wasn't close.
Look, they're running away with the NFC East. Like, you're going to put the hay in the barn here in a week or two. Because the Commanders now riding a 3-game losing streak. It is a 3-game lead in the loss column for the Philadelphia Eagles. They are 9-2 on the year. Dude, they're about ready to just pack up this season and say, yep, nope, we're done, because the Cowboys are still an absolute disaster. The end of that game was the wildest thing I have ever seen, that Commanders and Cowboys game. Like, nobody should feel good. The NFC East had just sadness all the way around. The Giants get their teeth kicked in. The Commanders lose to the Cowboys in a game that they should not have lost. Your kicker is missing extra points. Well, a bad snap, horrible snap. Mm-hmm. And look, that the thing about being a deep snapper, it's the best job in sports, because like, you get that job, like,
you
as long
keep it
as
like
you do
20
it,
years.
20 years, yeah. And they never open up.
Nope.
And that's the way you lose that job as a deep snapper. And they end up missing an extra point. Then the onside kick gets returned for a touchdown. Boy, Murphy's off. It can go wrong. It will go wrong. And it did. There were 31 points in the final 3 minutes and 30 seconds of the Commanders-Cowboys game. 31 combined points in the final 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Think about that. The final score of that game was 34-26. So you're looking at the total. The total was at 60 points. 31 of those came in the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds. Wild.
Yeah, the Cowboys scoring 24 points in the fourth quarter after managing 10.
Yeah.
Before that.
And not needing Cooper Rush to do it. Like, that's the crippling part for the Commanders, is that their special teams is what blew that game for them. Whether it is...
Also, 5 fumbles in that game.
Yeah, yeah. Because...
Grease pig.
You have the 99-yard kickoff return.
Mm-hmm.
You have missed extra points. You have an onside kick return for a touchdown. Like, they left so many points on the field.
There's a lot of dumb transpiring.
That's how the Commanders lose.
Mm-hmm. Which... Brutal. You know, it seemed like the Commanders had gotten that out of their blood, as it were.
Well, yeah, because they hit another Hail Mary. Like, Terry McLaurin goes 86 yards. Like, we didn't even talk about that before, like, the extra point mm-hmm. gets blown. 86-yarder, and you're like, oh, my God, they are going to win this game. Like, this is Dallas going, no, we're done now.
Roll
like,
over and die.
We are going to roll over and die. Nope. Wrong. It was a missed extra point, and then they house the onside kick.
Unbelievable.
Brutal way to lose.
Unbelievable. All right, coming up next, we'll dive into that game maybe a little bit more, but also just the rest of the NFL. College football weekend was upset-filled. There was some wild, wacky, wany.
Can we talk run the ball? Can we talk run the ball?
Run the ball?
Yeah, I got to run the ball, Steph.
Oh, we got to run the ball. Indeed. We'll get to that and more here now. Number 3 on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.